How's it going, Yamma Taters? Episode 342 of You and Me and Thoughts and Talk with Doug Culp. I'm your host, Doug Culp. I'm doing the same thing I did for last week's episode, where starting with this intro part, and then once the guest comes, then we're going to talk with Sarah Hennessy. She's a stand-up comic from Canada. Seen her do stand-up a bunch of times in LA, and she's fucking hilarious, so get ready. Get ready. Oh, get ready. Get ready. Here I come. Setup is a little different this time. I'm on my computer, and I'm recording from my sister's place. And I mean, honestly, I'm probably going to be moving on out of Utah soon here. I'm really excited because a lot of things are unsure in the world right now, largely because of the ignoring science that happens in this country, which is so dumb. Wear a mask, everybody. Wear a mask. Keep yourself safe. It will inadvertently keep others safe. But, yeah. Did I think I was going to talk for 10 minutes just now? Well, maybe. Maybe they'll join before. I need to shave. What? Okay. I thought the Zoom was doing something, and it was not. Let's see here. It's a pretty nice place. They bought it from my other sister and her husband and their nephew, or my nephew, because they just moved to Hawaii. And they're in a 2-week quarantine period right now. They're on like day 5 or 6. But that's pretty crazy because Hawaii's being careful. Most of the world is being careful with coronavirus, aka COVID-19. But a lot of states here are still treating it like it doesn't exist and doesn't matter. And like, wearing a mask has to do with personal freedoms. It's like, no, if you just knew anything about science, you'd maybe wear a mask. Just wear a mask. I'm repeating myself, but it's worth repeating. Wear a damn mask. Okay. I used to, for any seasoned listeners of the podcast out there, which maybe there's a couple, if you remember, I would interview the guest and then I would record the intro and then snap the intro onto the theme song and then snap the episode at the end of that. And, you know, life is ever changing. You got to be ready for what's coming, and but also be open to switching it up. Because if you get stuck in the same patterns all the time, life can get boring. But also, life is pretty, really, really crazy during this pandemic. I'm gonna just survive. I'm gonna just keep surviving. because last week's episode was recorded in the van. Perhaps next week's episode will be recorded in the van. But I guess we'll find out. The computer doesn't overheat. Something that I should have compensated for. But here we are.
Maybe.
I'm gonna try something. Put my computer bag, or my computer on the computer bag. That way it's not just absorbing or sinking heat into this chair that the computer is sitting on. Find out if that worked. Oof. Oof. Ugh. All right. Okay. Got it at an angle. You're gonna love it in an instant. Let me see if they've DM'd me or anything. Nope. 3 minutes. But yeah, this being able to do this is super temporary too, because they're still moving into this new place and this is going to be bedroom of my niece, but they still got most of their stuff at the other place, which is for sale. Let's see, turn that off for notifications. I started listening to this new podcast called The Perfect Scam by Frank Abagnale. And it's interesting because they're helping, they're getting stories told and also telling stories, but it's the person that Catch Me If You Can is based off of. So pretty cool. And I heard about that podcast on another podcast called Scam Goddess with Lacey Mosley, aka Scam Goddess. And that podcast is really funny. Listen to it. Let's see what else. Listen to Star Trek Enterpods, the Star Trek Enterprise watch along podcast I have with my dad. Go to reallygladyoucame.bandcamp.com for my original music. I think I talked about it on last week's episode, but I just recorded a new song and it's a minute long and I'm charging 69 cents for it, and it's called Homeless, Not Hopeless, because it describes my situation. And I mean, I wrote it because I felt like writing a new song and that just came to me and boom. Cut my hair soon too, if only for comfort, for having less hair in the summertime. So, all right, we got 5 o'clock. So my brother-in-law works on arcades and pinball machines, and as a result, has a handful of awesome old games. And we were just playing, Dragon's Lair. And that game is so fun and so difficult. Let's see, I'm just gonna DM them. Because I've had time confusion before just because of, they're there. Hello. Sarah. Is it connecting? Connecting audio and video and stuff? Let's see. Still connecting, probably. Let me go to the waiting. Oh, hey. How's it going?
I'm great, how are you?
Good.
Okay, I forgot that I didn't explain to you. I don't have like a special microphone. I only have my computer in my messy room.
That's okay. That's totally fine. As long as I can hear you.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, huge. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I thought there was like, I'm like, wait a minute. I probably am supposed to have equipment here in my home.
You're like, I don't have my...
I don't have my home studio set up.
I don't have my Blue Yeti. I don't have my snowball mic. What do I...
Is that what they're called? I feel like I need to know these things.
There's a couple of good... So the Blue Yeti is a mic that I used for a very long time, and it is awesome. Because it's a condenser... Really? It's a condenser mic, and so it's USB. You just plug it in, and then... it makes everything sound good.
That's a hot tip. One of my friends, Chris Locke, I don't know whether you know him, he's another Canadian comedian, but he was like, wanted to have me on his podcast. He's like, what kind of sound recording equipment do you have? And I was like, what? I'm like, whenever I do voiceover stuff, I just do it on GarageBand with a sheet over me, right? Yeah. And then he's like, I don't think that's gonna work. And I was like, fuck. So, I don't know. And then I'm like, we're gonna all be in this weird situation for a long time. So,
yeah.
We're gonna be all collaborating more and doing stuff like this. I'm like, perhaps I should get myself a Blue Yeti.
It's pretty good. And it's fairly on the affordable side as far as like when you start getting into like Sennheiser or whatever other big brands I can't even think of right now. But,
I've never even heard these words. They sound cool. Sennheiser. My Sennheiser was expensive, but that's what I want. I wanted that.
I wanted the one. I want that one. I want the one that sounds expensive. That's
Sennheiser. In the middle of interviews, I'm like, you're probably wondering why I'm so crisp. It's the Sennheiser. And then people like you who already know are like, we all have one. It's cool.
You're like, but did you see the pop filter in front of the Sennheiser? Because
shit.
Even more crisp.
What's the pop filter?
What's the pop filter? It's basically just like a very thin sheet of cloth that's in a circle. And so it just usually goes right in front of the mic for the P's and B's so they don't.
Okay, I thought that was for like to stop people from like spreading germs onto the actual head. You know what I mean? Like I thought that was like a pre-COVID thing. Like where people just were like extra, like don't be gross. And I'm like,
it's it's like a dream catcher, but for germs.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, those things are good. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm in my sister's place right now.
In California.
In Utah. And I'm like, I started having to live in my van, which really sucks.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, I don't have an income coming in, and this is sort of a last ditch effort. So hope this works. It's happened before. I was sleeping in a car a couple years ago, and then I moved up to Utah because I was like, parents, please take me back in. This was pre-COVID. And then I got a job, and then I kind of got pushed into a new apartment a little too soon. And then I lost that job and I got another job, but then COVID hit. So I was like, I'm going to self furlough because I have Lyme disease. This could get very hairy very quickly.
Yeah.
And so I self furloughed and then I lost that job. And then I got another job while I was homeless, sleeping in the van. But then I lost that job because I was tweeting out about how they should require customers to wear masks when they come in. And I kept adding them.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't sound like you really wanted to keep that job. Too tough. But like that does make sense. Like, you're adding them because you want them to.
Yeah, corporate. Like, this is me as customer service, as like, I'm scared right now. Like,
yeah, that's fucking crazy. Why shouldn't you be? Like, I mean, people are dumb. That sounds really tough.
Yeah, it's been weird. But I have a plan to move back to California. Even though I know it's all shut down right now, I'm still like, I want to be there. Like, I'd rather be roughing it in the van out there than out here where a lot of people just don't take the mask thing seriously and the cases keep going up. And I'm like, yeah, it's dangerous here.
Oh, is it? It's bad there, huh?
Yeah, a lot of just conservative people and like religious people who have faith that all this is like fine and sent by God maybe. And like, just, I'm like, no.
Dude, that's so infuriating. That must be so fucking tough.
Yeah.
And you're seeing your sisters?
Just right, just for the recording, yeah.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. But you're in Canada, yeah?
No, I'm in Brooklyn right now. I'm from Canada.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's it out there?
I mean, it's like, I don't
dystopia?
Know. Yeah, it's a little weird. Like, I think it's interesting because, like, I don't know, people, I don't know, it's weird. We're in a time where people are relaxing a bit more about stuff. Like, you see people have their masks, but they're not on their face all the way. And you're like, it's like the gesture of it. Like, it's like the whisper of a promise. Like, I don't understand. Like, that's weird.
Whisper of a promise.
Yeah. So like, but it's also I've only been here for 2 years, and so it's like, I don't know, man. It's just like, it sucks everywhere. I think all of the protests here, everybody's masked up, like fucking community effort on top of it. It's like the people who are not social activists in any way, those are the people who don't care. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I don't know. It's really strange. But yeah, I don't know. I'm in a neighborhood that's like, I don't know, it seems okay. But like, it's spreading. Like, people, it's not like, this is a thing about the whole marketing, or not marketing, but the whole awareness of people are like, the way people talk about numbers going up. Oh, numbers are going up. Numbers have shattered.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're talking about a score or something. Like, you don't think about people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think they should be doing like scare tactics the way they do when they try to make us stop smoking, like, you know, like gross.
Yeah. Marketing.
They should be like fucking with us more with like scare tactics. But they're like, but it's just too many people just like talking about the idea of a mask instead of showing somebody like bawling their eyes out because they can't talk to their loved one who's dying right now, or somebody in like a hospital bed being like, come on, man, you gotta do it. Like, that kind of stuff I think would be more impactful than just like, it's like, so it feels so detached from what's really happening or something.
Yeah, like, it's almost like
it's like people get it and then they're carted behind a curtain and nobody sees them, so they can't feel affected.
Yeah. Did you see Lori Kilmartin, how she was tweeting about her mom?
I really, yeah, I was totally following her mom, and it was so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
fucking crazy. It was so crazy on so many levels. And like, I just feel like it was, that was such good awareness. And I think it's such a wake up call because she has a lot of fans and followers.
Yeah.
And so it was like so real. And when she was sort of funny during it, it was like,
oh, yeah.
Next level. Like, this is like full human. This is like a funny person who's like going through the hardest thing publicly with us.
Yeah.
It felt like a good move. It felt like, that felt like activism as well.
Yeah, for sure. She was like doing what she could with her platform to be like, look, this thing is fucking real. Wear a mask, please. My mom got it. She's very careful. We were all very careful. And then all of a sudden, I have to watch her from an iPad. It's like, that sucks so bad.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's awful. That was awful. But it's weird also when, like, I was talking to my parents and, like, they're just, like, I don't know. Like, they're just such nice, lighthearted people. So they were like, yeah, you know, they're starting to open things back up. I'm like, don't go. I'm like, that's not for you. That's for capitalism. Don't do it. Oh, my God. I'm like flipping out. And they're like, oh, yeah, we wouldn't, you know. And I'm like, you are. Like, I just don't know what to trust. And I'm like, don't you understand that people are dying? Like, I sound like, I sound insane, but although I'm right. I don't know. It's a weird time.
It's a very weird time because there's a lot of people who are very worried. And it's like, we have reason to be because we're just seeing this thing wipe people out. And
yeah, it's weird. It's fucked. Anyway.
So comedy, huh? Oh
my God, totally comedy.
How long did you do it in Canada before you moved to LA before Brooklyn? Yeah.
No. I would think when I met you, when I was in LA, you were doing like a living room show at the time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't play it, but I think we met like another show and we were like talking about it. And I was like, that sounds fun. Anyways, I don't know why I wasn't around to do it. But yeah, I was in Toronto doing stand-up for like 15 years. And then I visited LA just a couple of times just to do shows and make some friends. And then I got a green card and I moved to New York over LA because a lot of my friends who moved to LA were either like, so became pretty like successful so fast that I was like, well, I really feel like I can't even talk to you anymore. Or for the most of them were just complaining and like really bummed all the time. And I was like, I don't really want to hang with that vibe. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to move. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to move to New York because it's great for stand up. And it seems really cool, and it's really close to Toronto. If I wanted to go home, it's like only a couple hour flight.
Yeah.
So then I moved here, and it was like, making all new friends and stuff, which is like cool. And also hard when you're like older, because you're like, hey guys, they're like, who are you? Like, people are like, why don't you already have your own friends? And you're like, I'm new. And then people are like, well, we're already friends, and we go to like weddings together. And I'm like, well, can I also come? And everybody has like a history. And I'm like trying to, like laughing along like I was also there. Like, it's so fucked making new friends. And you don't want to seem desperate, so you're like, yeah, cool, like, but really you're just like, oh my God, I want time to pass so we can actually like think about it, like each other.
invite me along. Let's hang out.
Oh my God, I know. I'll perpetually always like, it's like you feel like the new kid at school, like that's just what it is. And then who's going to be nice enough to fucking just open their heart to me? Who's going to do it? Which one? Yeah. Like, I'm like, you can't like say it. You just have to pretend like it's no big deal if they do or not. But really, you need it so bad.
Neon sign, like, please open your heart.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's something in comedy that you would love to do that you haven't done yet? And it doesn't have to be just one thing. And let's say that this is when the world is back.
Oh, yes. I know. Yeah. That's the weird thing right now.
Yeah.
It's so strange because it's like visualizing anything is like kind of hard to do right now. Like,
yeah.
Like when you're like writing or whatever, it's nice to like, you want to visualize your scenes and then you write them, right? Mm-hmm. And then when you have a goal, if you visualize it, you can kind of work towards it, right?
Yeah.
Like right now, I find it's a really hard time to visualize anything. Like I'm just like, It's like you do like a guided meditation and like, or something. Like you're like, somebody hold my hand and walk me through how to visualize something. So it's like, if it's like hard, what do I want to do? Like I'm missing the smallest things right now. Like going, like just doing a show with friends and like, or going on the road with like a friend to some shitty place and then like have been having fun in the car. Like, so I'm trying to, I want to think pie in the sky. Like, I think what I want to do, I think I would love, I made a short last fall with some cool. A bunch of friends that like I like wrote and we like self-produced it and everything. So I think one thing that I haven't done was get like funding for like a bigger scale short, like not be out of pocket. That's something I'd like to do on the next. Like I feel like I can, I don't know who would be like, here you go, like
just call up Red Hour. Just call up Ben Stiller.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. He's like, I'm in. You know, it was a bit of a loophole, the thing you did, but I definitely want to see Financially Supported. Or no, I don't know. That's weird. I just want to make more projects with people, and they would be cooler if they were bigger scale than just my whole like DIY thing that I've been doing. We've all been doing forever. Yeah. But I can't get specific. I will work on that.
All right.
So I guess like, yeah, something, yeah, something, a new project that I'm, like, being paid to do would be sweet.
Yeah.
But then I still, but something that I would have paid for myself to do, because I think it's cool, you know.
Yeah.
Not like,
What about, like, a special, or?
Woo! Yeah, that would be cool. I know. I have a couple of albums out, and it's now thinking back on them, I'm like, how did I do that? Like, I can't imagine a world in which I was like confident enough to be like, come to my shell and record it. So I put all the sirens.
All right.
There's always an emergency, and it's never my career. Yeah, I think it would be cool to do another like album special or something. But like, I also want to do more narrative work as well.
Yeah. So do you have, without having to get too specific, you have like some scripts that you've written and you're like, this would be good, this would be dope.
Like different amounts of like not done this and done this. Like, it's like somebody who's like trying to like, I don't know, make their own wine. And then they're like, this one's been aging for like a few months. And they're like, that's not long enough. And then I have like a really old bottle. And I'm like, what about this? And then you're like, well, let's take a look at the label. And you're like, well, those issues aren't really relevant for your like life anymore. You know? Okay, I gotta rethink that old bottle. But yeah, I different like amounts of readiness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite part about doing stand up, about creating, about putting stuff out into the world?
Well, putting stuff out, that is feels like the most annoying right now, because it's like there's so much shit going on. So it's like,
yeah,
if you have a badly timed like release of like a project you made, like right when like, it's like that could, it not only could be buried, but you could really look like an ignorant asshole for not reading the fucking room. Mm-hmm. So you're like, hey, everybody, I've been working really hard on this. You're like, how about these innocent people who've been working hard on their lives and they're just being ripped away from their families and put in jail? And you're like, I'm so sorry. If you, like it's not important. Am I spiraling? My favorite part is like when to be really is like probably when I'm doing a good show like stand-up wise and it's like everybody's laughing. That's my favorite part. And I feel like a sense of like artistic flow where I'm like feeling like I'm in a good groove.
Yeah.
Like silly and other people are enjoying themselves and I'm like seeing this like I'm getting like communication from the audience showing that like I'm not wasting my life.
It's a connection like no other where you're connecting with the audience and you're like, oh, there's no other feeling like this. This feels amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's going well and your jokes are good.
Yeah. I miss it so much. I miss, what do you think about all these comics where like, it's fine, it'll be fine. And they're like going up and doing live shows and like then getting COVID and like spreading it around.
Yeah, it feels really ignorant. Like people, I think that's another thing that goes back to the fact that I wish that people had more scare tactics, more like reality-based like things with this disease, because people are just looking at numbers and seeing headlines and it doesn't mean anything to anyone. Like they're like, unless you were personally touched by like tragedy with this, you're not going to care as much as somebody who has been.
Yeah.
And, so then you're like, it's just like how everybody like, I don't know, it's just like, it, like HPV or like herpes or something, like people still have unprotected sex and they're like, oh fuck, my crotch is on fire, or like there's like I'm breaking out all over my crotch, and then they have to like go, and then they're like, oh man, how much unprotected sex have you had? And then they're like, all of my sex has been unprotected. And then they're like, well, you got it, like you definitely have disease, and like you don't die, but now you have to tell everybody you have sex with that you have it. I mean,
it's you weren't careful.
Yeah, the people aren't being careful, and they're not, and they think, hey man, I just want to live for today. And people are selfish because we do want that rush and we do want to feel good, but it's still psycho. Like, who's going to these shows?
Like, I don't know.
Like, is that the audience you want? Like, you want, like, you, like, what kind of court jester are you? Like, you only want to perform in front of pure morons?
Yeah.
Like, nobody who's smart is there.
Yeah. A buddy of mine posted on Facebook pretty generally, like, How does everyone feel about performing right now? This is maybe like a month ago.
Who is this?
Do you know Jeff Buck?
Oh, I think I follow him. Okay.
So, and shout out to Jeff. But
I follow you, I think.
he posted, how does everyone feel about performing right now? And I said below, like, I would only perform right now if everyone was required to wear masks and every chair was surrounded by a hermetically sealed like plastic thing around them, and that went all the way up to the ceiling with like fans that would blow all the air out. And even then, I don't know if I would be very comfortable. Yeah. Wearing right now.
You'd be on stage and you'd be like, the energy's a bit off. Like, I wonder what it is. Like, how do you cook up a vibe in that situation? Anybody who's had to do like a daytime like cafeteria show is like, that was hell. So like, what do you think it's gonna be like when like everybody is like hat in a hazmat suit like staring at you and there's like only white walls? It's like psychotic. It's honestly, it's been really tough not having stand-up. I'm like literally don't know who I am anymore a lot of the time. It's like been I'm like, my therapist is like, it, like, just, I want you to admit that it's been a devastating loss. So this is me admitting it's been a devastating loss.
That's a big step. It's a big step.
Yeah, it has. It's attached to everything. When you are a stand-up comedian, it's attached to how your social life, your career, and all of that, all of the different opportunities that can happen from doing well at a show, your social life, all the friendships you make when people see that you don't suck. And like seeing people at shows all the time, like, you know, people who are kind of in your little scene, you're like, oh damn, like we're like, you know, it's like a person in your life, like you're like,
yeah,
this is a relationship. Right. And when when people don't have that, it's like it cuts you off from everything.
Oh yeah.
And like, I'm sure you, how long have you been doing stand-up for?
But 12 years now.
Yeah, and that's a long time for it to be your main thing, and for it to just be gone.
Yeah, like, gone. You know,
or paused or whatever.
Ugh. And it makes me like look back and go, man, there's so many times I could have done stand up when I didn't. And I'm like, no, we can't go down this road.
Oh my God.
No,
yeah.
No what ifs, no.
Yeah, totally. I know. It's like that, it's one of the things that I've always been like, really enthusiastic about. And like, so when, and so in the transition's different, like a lot of people are really good with doing stuff online. Like,
yeah.
And I just like, and then it's so funny. It's like, I don't know. I have all these like weird feelings and judgments about it. There's nothing as organic feeling to me as to just get a show and show up and do it.
Yeah.
That, like, that's my favorite. And it like, and it just, I can't, it's hard. Nothing else feels like it. I know a lot of people are doing really well otherwise, but dude, it's like,
have
it's,
you done any of the online stand-up shows?
Yeah. Like I've only done a few and I've like had a lot of fun. And I even get nervous before. And I like really welcome that feeling. Like I'm so used to feeling nervous at night because of shows. Like yeah. It's just part of my like jitter energy vibe. And I'm like, yeah. So now I'm like, it's like I've been in the baking in the sun too long or sitting in a hot tub too long. I'm like, where's my energy? Like, who am I? It's like when Lisa Simpson, that episode where she's like, grade me. Like there's like this because school's on strike or something. And she's like, couldn't function.
Grade me.
You need to be graded. But it's like, and then now the closest is getting like likes on a tweet where they're like, it's like people being like, that's funny. And if I don't get many likes, I'm like, here I am just fucking bombing. But it's not the same. Like,
yeah.
Also into like written jokes are different, and how popular you are, it plays a big role into it too. It's like, I don't even like to intellectualize it because I'm like, it almost ruins it. It's like when people want you to explain a joke, you're like, it's not funny if you explain it.
Like, yeah, if you didn't get it, you didn't get it, move
enough.
On.
Yeah, so it's already embarrassing enough. I don't want to analyze it. Analyze why it's not my favorite thing. Every day people are constantly tweeting, this place is hell. We're in hell. And then like, but yet we're all participating in it. Like, please, like me in hell. I need it. It's so weird. It's like we live in a topsy-turvy world.
True.
I want to die.
One thing about the online shows that I've noticed is like with the Zoom ones, and I'm sure there's like, Google Meet, I think you can have up to like 50 people. Zoom, you can have up to 100 people. And then like, if you buy like the really expensive licenses, you can get it up to like 500 or 1,000 or whatever.
I mean, I don't think I would ever have that much demand for people to watch me fucking freak out in my bedroom.
But the cool thing about the Zoom one is you can, like you can see the people sitting there, but they're also laughing and smiling, and you can hear it too. And so there's like the feedback.
That's cool. Yeah, I've never had that experience. I've only done shows online that broadcast to like YouTube or whatever. So we just the only
yeah. So it's like comments.
Yeah, it's just
comments and emojis and stuff.
Yeah, and like it's not even that. Like I enjoy just like chatting with people. Like so I enjoy it. Like I'll say yes to whatever show because it's like. It's just fun to do something that's like not just what I would do, which would just be like hanging out and like watching TV or like being like, what is this life? It's nice to have something on the schedule or whatever the calendar. Mm-hmm. And it's like communicate with people and find out how they're doing and what things look like for them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
People are like, like I know I really don't love when people are doing a show and they talk about how it's not going well sometimes, and so it's like that's kind of one of those things where I'm like, I mean, I feel like we could probably use that energy to like try to make it better, like don't talk about it. But then sometimes it's good when people acknowledge that things are weird. But the yeah. last thing I want to do is watch a Zoom show where everybody's like, this is weird, like everybody's like, is it weird? Sorry, there's any drag races around here where people are like, you know, isn't it weird we're on Zoom? And then you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, the whole world is weird right now. Like,
yeah. or when I see people doing their regular jokes, but then like just sort of like you see like you see in their eyes, or at least maybe I'm projecting this, like just the levels of them being like, this is so weird. No reaction. Who am I? What's happening? What is this? How long is this gonna last? Like you see like a ripple of like
yeah.
E equals MC squared, like it's all
realization, like, yeah. Like whoa.
Yeah, yeah. Or like that that deafening pause where a crowd would have made a response. It's like, yeah. It's like an abyss. It's like, like discontent.
Did you ever see or hear about Ian Abramson's show, 7 Minutes in Purgatory?
Oh my God, dude. Yeah. Yeah. I remember hearing about that show. I think I might've watched one too, where people would just be like in a room. The whole idea is that you couldn't hear a crowd. But then that is our fucking life. So people would be, like, the crowd would be in another room and the people would have noise canceling headphones and they would switch that to camera and not have any reaction from anybody. And they don't know whether the crowd's laughing or not. So they're just like, oh God. And then they see a joke, they're like, oh God. Like they don't know what they're doing. And then he brings them out after and they see the crowd, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So I think they may have gotten like a relief moment where they're like, like me, right?
They love me. They really love me.
Yeah. Or like, Gary, I hope that's never a state of comedy that we're all in.
And then, now it is, for the most part.
I know. It's so silly. It's so weird. Yeah. But, you know, I talked to some people who do like drive-in movie shows.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of like, that seems like it would be kind of fun. I mean,
yeah, because people are like honking to laugh and stuff, and
psychotic, man. Usually, when people honk, you're like, I'm about to die, or like, or it's like a be like, hey, like, beep, beep. Like, it has to be like they have to know how to honk well.
Yeah,
not everybody can. You know what I mean? Like when people do like the light beep to say bye or something.
Yeah.
You just three support. And you're like, hey. Like, that's not a part of driving.
That was aggressive. That was too aggressive.
It's definitely the state of sim comedy now is us feeling like so like we're in like a fun house. Yeah. Horror. No audience laughter, only honks. You can't see anybody else. And you don't know. And then you have like some comedians who are like, it's never coming back. And they like love saying that. And then I'm like, what are you doing to me, man? Like, it's like how people are with like any big thing in their life. People love calling it, you know?
Yeah.
They're not going to lie.
Like, I was right.
Yeah. That's like what it says on their tombstone. Like, I was right.
I was right with their hands up.
Yeah, hands up. Yeah.
But it will come back. I think it will come back. It'll just be like, because the vaccines will make their rounds and people will be like, oh yeah, I'm not wearing a mask because I'm vaccinated, so I can't get it and I can't spread it. But it's going to be a while, I think. And then even then there's going to be weirdness because people are going to be like, wait, are you just saying you got the vaccine or...
Yeah, are you, I'm like, it's like with like, it comes back to unprotected sex again. People are going to say like, are you sure you don't have HPV? Are you sure you're wearing a condom? Are you sure you took the pill? Like, nobody asks these things ever. So we just test each other and then more people get those things, get infected. So then like, I don't know, it's weird. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, in New Zealand right now, sim comedy is fucking killing it because there's places there. People are on tour. People are doing. People are living La Vida Loca over there, having a wonderful time.
New Zealand, if you're listening, I would love to come visit. I'll quarantine for 14 days. I'll do all the rules, but
yeah,
New Zealand, have us on your sets.
Like, I can't even believe it. Like, their life is like back to normal, and people seem to be better looking over there too. Like, I feel like New Zealand's really having the last laugh.
Yeah.
In America, because like, it's funny, as a Canadian moving to America, you kind of feel like America is like kind of like the 80s jock quarterback who's like, get out of my way, like, you know. And then like Canada's like the geek who's like, hey man, I've been with you the whole time. You're like, cool. And they're like, no. So you have to like move here to get approval. But then now it's like the demise of the 80s like
jock
quarterback. Nobody cares about them anymore.
Yeah.
People are like, hey man, it's all about sort of like the young nerdy environmentalist
with
social issues. And then like, America's like this like jock and being like,
oh, don't tell me what to do.
Yeah, it's a bit of that vibe. And then, but so it's like we're in this juxtaposition of still wanting, like, the I don't know, we want to break the system, but we also want, we don't know anything different than what we've been striving for.
Yeah.
It's so strange.
Ugh. Like, I bet.
What? Yeah, I hate when people ask me what I'm, like, up to. I'm like, I'm keeping it together. And I'm not even doing that well.
What do you think I'm up to? Like, what are you
about?
For the, so there's the jock, there's Canada, which is the geek, and then do you think New Zealand is maybe, like, the stoner who just has stayed out of it and, like, just...
he's, like, the just, like, the, like, kind of person that you didn't see in the back of the room who's kind of just medium well-liked by everybody, got their homework done. Yeah, maybe they did play hacky sack outside. Maybe they were the stoner. They like they kind of they weren't too popular. They weren't like noticeably a huge loser either. And now they're having the last laugh.
And like,
they got way better looking after high school too. Fuck. Like,
they're like, you guys, America, you're taking high school way too seriously. And then they're like, Canada, I like what you're doing. Keep it up. Keep doing what you're doing.
Sure, Canada, you seem a little bit desperate. But, like, you know, you'll have your time. If you keep on working hard, you'll get what you deserve.
Oh. Yeah,
the Breakfast Club of the United... It's like the United Nations, but the Breakfast Club.
Oh, wasn't there going to be... a United Nations show, like a comedy with the Sklars were going to do it or something?
Oh, really?
Or,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I forget what it was called, but...
The United Nations building in New York doesn't have any windows on one side facing the East River because they didn't want anybody to have a really good view over somebody who didn't. That's what I thought about. That way nobody could, like, Germany could be like, corner office, sick view, fuck you all. I don't know, they didn't want to have a hierarchy, and it was like a symbolic, like, we're all on even playing field. I'm like, Isn't there, like, other work we could be doing?
No, we're on the no windows issue today. Tomorrow we're gonna go on the no air conditioning when it's already cool outside.
I like that, that's so true.
Do you know Adam Christie?
I love Adam Christie.
He's so awesome. He's done the show. Yeah, he's done the show a couple times. He did my living room show a couple times, and then have you been watching What We Do in the Shadows?
Oh my God, I haven't been watching enough, but I know it's so. I've watched the movie a million times, but I haven't watched the series enough.
So he turns up in an episode. And I was like, holy shit, Adam made it to What We Do in the Shadows. This is huge.
Yeah, they shot a bunch in Canada.
Oh, cool.
And so they hired a lot of, like, Canadians to be on it.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
But I highly, like, if you're looking for something that's not too serious, that's very goofy.
That's a great recommendation.
Yeah, and it's like Taika and Jermaine are at the helm of it still. Oh, it's such a wonderful time.
Yeah, it's like, I think on Rotten Tomatoes, it has like full 100% or something.
Nice.
It's fully beloved, that show. I'm actually kind of happy that I haven't watched a bunch of it.
Because now you get to watch it.
I've been watching a lot of Alan Partridge because I have HBO Max. I don't know whether you've seen Alan Partridge.
I haven't seen it yet, but that's Steve Coogan, right?
Steve Coogan, yeah. And there's just such a hilarious genesis with the same character having totally different shows, and you watch the whole, like, demise of his desperate career. But he's so funny, and it's like, it's just really, I've been watching that a lot. And then I was rewatching Gilmore Girls because it's like such comfort food. And I was like enjoying it so much, but then I couldn't watch it. And then and then season two started again, and I couldn't watch it because there was like a new romantic interest who stressed me out. And so I was like, well, I can't watch it. Like, it's just like things right now, like we're so vulnerable right now for our mood.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot this season stresses me out. I can't watch it. And it's because it's like this guy Jess comes in and he's from out of town. He has like a bad attitude. He kind of stirs things up around town. I'm like, that's the last thing I need. I don't need things to be stirred up. I just wanted to watch people enjoying their seasons in Stars Hollow.
Can't we just see a show where everyone just gets along and talks?
Oh my God. This is why I'm such a hypocrite. Like, I used to feel that way when I was younger. I'm like, I would like get really stressed watching like TV and movies when something bad would happen. Like, you know what I mean? But then you get to writing and you learn how stories work. And you must have something happen. Yeah. And so I was like, oh yeah, I guess it's not just like watching like a screensaver. But then my mom is like, she gets all like, oh, I don't want to watch anything that's too upsetting. You know, I'm like, Mom, you can't avoid real life. And then I'm like, and then all of a sudden, like, season two with a stressful character comes in. I'm like, I can't do it. Like,
it's too much. No.
Yeah, I'm exactly like, I'm such a hypocrite. I'm exactly like all the qualities that I dislike in a lot of people. I think I definitely have them. But I only choose to see them sometimes.
Have you seen Toast of London?
Yeah, man.
Oh,
that's a good show too.
I'm so glad I finally got to it. And like that first episode where he just is looking at the page and it's just the word yes. And he's like, is this everything? And then he has to record it like 1,000 times. Yes.
It's so fun. Yeah, British like comedies are so great and they're so inspiring, I think, for a lot of us, because we're like, this is just goddamn fucking funny, silly.
Yeah.
And they turn them out. They don't have seasons that last a million episodes. So mm-hmm. that way it always leaves you wanting more. And I feel like there's such an abundance of it. So it's like people are allowed to make stuff more than in like the US and Canada.
Do you think Netflix and HBO kind of took a lead from that, where, because there's some Netflix and HBO shows where you're like, oh, 12 episode season, huh? Okay. And like, oh, 10 episode season.
Yeah, I probably like, have, because I think it's like, it's almost like mini series do so well.
Yeah.
I think a lot of those series are like, I think originally, like, because I think BBC is like government funded. It's like, so there's so much taxpayer money that goes into making programming, so
yeah,
it's like things are connected more, whereas in Canada that's the same way, but they found loopholes to just sort of play Canadian commercials and not make Canadian programming. And that's why a lot of meet a lot of Canadians move to the States to like get their career going, because they're like, literally done all I can up there. And now everybody's running home. But I bet they have been influenced. I mean, people want to watch, people watch TV so much more differently than they used to because of streaming. So,
yeah.
I mean, it makes sense to churn out more, and so they can try out a series.
Yeah.
And
I guess, so me and my dad started a Star Trek watch along podcast for Star Trek Enterprise. Did you ever see that one?
I never got into Star Trek, and I know that it's very respectable and like interesting and funny.
Yeah.
In its way, and I kind of missed the boat on it.
Yeah, and it's like,
maybe I'll take another boat and catch up with that boat at some point. Yeah.
But we were recording like episode 4 or 5 or something. And I'm so used to these shorter seasons, I go, how many episodes are left in the season? And he's like, like 20. And I'm like, huh?
Oh my God, dude. I totally don't.
Like, there's 24 episodes in one season? Holy shit.
I was watching Gilmore Girls. I kept on checking to see what season. I'm like, oh, we're still in season 1. I'm like, season episode 20. And I was like, this is a gift that keeps on giving. It's great for when you're in the pandemic and then you just want to fucking ingest like another world. I don't have to think about your problems.
Turn into Kirby, like.
Yeah, man, totally. I know. Sometimes it's like nice that there's so much of one thing, and you're like,
yeah.
It's it can be really comforting. But then sometimes you're like, I think we didn't need all that. Who knows? Who knows?
This could have been 13 episode season. Let's be honest.
They could have tightened up Star Trek. They could have tightened up. But they could have. Wouldn't be such Trek heads if you guys weren't able to like really get into that whole multi-universes of.
Yeah.
Because that's the kind of a show that must have been so fun to like work on, because it's like your imagination can go wild and people love it. People always talk about how much they love it because of the humanity and like the relatability in it as well. So it seems like it did something very special there.
Oh yeah, Trek's pretty cool. I started as like Star Wars, mostly Star Wars, and then watched some Star Trek growing up, and then like just watching this and doing the Watch Along podcast, I'm like, yeah, Trek is dope.
That's cool. That's a good reason to do something too, to have a Watch Along podcast. So did you guys were you guys recording while you're watching it? Like,
I hit record and then hit play on the episode, and then we're just talking through it. And I haven't seen this series before, but he's seen it a couple times. And so there's some episodes where he'll be like, oh, we might see them again. And I'm like, Dad, that's a spoiler. Come on.
I know. That's so funny when people do that. They're like, you want to know what happens? And you're like, oh. Or sometimes I'm like, just tell me what happens. I'm not going to watch it. Like, I'll just... if I know that there's a movie, like even Midsommar, I didn't want to watch it because it looked too stressful. So I just had my friend tell me what happened. And she just like told the whole movie.
I still haven't seen it. I like avoided spoilers somehow, but I'll give it a whirl.
It's supposed to be like the acting apparently is supposed to be like incredible. Like the first like 20 minutes is supposed to be next level so good.
Yeah.
And then I guess it gets like crazy and fucked up in some way. But I'm not gonna spoil it for you.
Yeah. For the listeners too, no spoilers.
Open up your all your senses and enjoy that acting. Apparently, through the roof. This acting is so good.
One movie that did get me for that the acting was A Quiet Place. Did you see that one? With John Krasinski and it's been out for a while now, and I had avoided spoilers, but they had to just be super quiet the whole time.
What?
And so that just let them express themselves a lot more through their faces, but there was also a sign language element to it.
Oh, dang. I don't think I realized that. I don't think I knew anything about this movie.
Yeah.
It's with Emily Blunt.
Yeah, and John Krasinski.
So they're married and they're in a movie together.
Yeah.
It's 1 hour and 40 minutes. It's a horror thriller.
Yeah.
That's right. I just looked it up. I just can't believe that they live together and would go to work together. That's like the dream, man. That's like the dream where you're like, hey, do you need a ride to work? Haha, I work with you.
Yeah, we work together. So let's just go.
Are you going? What time are you going home after this? Because we live together and you can't do anything.
I'm also going home after this, so.
Yeah. Probably were so sick of not talking the whole day that they would talk so much at night. Really true quiet place of a movie. They're like, you know what's not a quiet place? Our house. Like
our house.
Everybody hates them in the makeup trailer. They're talking the whole time. They're being too much.
They're being pretty loud for it being a quiet place.
Yeah. Before, like, when they have to say, like, speeding or whatever. Like,
yeah, sound speeds.
But, like, everybody, this is a quiet place, okay? Don't forget. The guy who's been speeding, it's, like, so quiet in there that he's just, like, speeding. Like, he just whispers it. Action. I thought it was actually a very adorable shoot.
Yeah.
It was a cute time. I mean, if everybody's being that quiet, do not let me on the Quiet Place set. I would ruin it. I would always drop a plate. I would
just, quiet. It's a quiet place.
And I have a sneeze that, like, the longest wind up. It was gone, but then it would just be, like, really big.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, Sarah, I feel like this has been an awesome episode.
Oh, my God.
Do you have stuff you want to plug? I'm serious. I'll hear anything you want to.
No, I have nothing to plug. I just, like, I hope everybody's okay.
I want to plug safety. I want to plug masks.
Yes. I want to plug those things. And I guess I'll just, like, a wish out there. I wish for us to be able to visualize our dreams again.
Oh, that's a good plug.
Yeah. I'm saying, let's treat plugs as wishes now. Like, it's like, we have like a little, like, we have like a little dime and we're about to throw it into a fountain.
Yeah.
I'd like to plug world peace. I'd like to plug a sense of adventure.
Ooh, a universal basic income. I'm plugging that.
Oh, yes, yeah. Free rent. Cancel rent. Like to plug that. I'd like to plug people who never thought it was possible to get in to understanding and local politics. Getting into it and caring about it. Yeah. That's what I like.
Awesome. Well, this has been You and Me and Thoughts and Talk with Doug Culp. And
thank you for having me.
Of course. Thanks for doing it. And when the world comes back, or, you know, like, I think I'm planning on bringing my Zoom stand-up show back. It's called Duplex Comedy Suplex.
Yes.
And so I just brought it over from the duplex, and I was like, I can do this mobile. Because when I wrote the theme song, I wrote it about a show that used to exist. And so the theme song still works. And I'd love to have you on it. I'd love to, too.
I mean, I'm like not against online shows. I just like when they're more conversational. So that way I don't feel like I'm dying. Yeah. I want to get it off. You're the best.
Awesome. You too.
Bye.
Later.